I'm joined here in the studio this morning with Melissa Aronson.
Good morning, Joni.
And Kate Saunders. Good morning.
Yeah, and welcome, Kate, and thank you once again for joining me on Garden Conversation. I so appreciate that. Today we're going to talk about some interesting experiments that you are doing in your garden.
There's always experiments.
Always something. But first of all, from Haynes Friends of Recycling, we have dryer tubs and washing machine tubs available for sale for $20 each. The washing machine tubs with the holes and all the in the sides are great little compost bins if you need those. And the dryer tubs are great raised beds. So if you're interested in either of those, give me a call, 766-2185.
So do the dryer tubs have holes in them in the bottom or something?
In the bottom.
In the bottom,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah. And they, I have like a dozen of them in my garden. I just love them. Yeah, we also have a whole lot of flower pots at the scrap box that are available. And lots of cardboard that's available to use as weed blocks on your garden paths or in your compost piles. Good carbon source for compost pile. And solstice is coming up this next week, and I'm always a little bit sad about that. I remember Gail Gilbert telling me that that was a very bittersweet day for her. So,
well, it is. Yeah, the days are going to start getting shorter again, and here we are still waiting for summer.
Exactly. Except before we went on the air, we were complaining about not being able to sleep because it's so light. But
yeah, yeah.
But there, you know, so there is that. But still, yeah. Anyway, Kate, you are doing some very interesting experiments this year. First of all, you have an aeroponics tower.
Yes.
So tell us about that.
Well, I purchased one of the towers. I don't know if you remember last year at the fair, there was some that one there had these displays. And I finally broke down and bought one myself. And it was delivered in September. And so I got it set up.
And because you bought it at the fair, you got a break on shipping, is that right?
Yes, I did, yeah. And so I don't want to endorse any one company. The whole reason I ended up going with them was because there's a group, I think five of us are all ordering them. And so it was a great break on the shipping to get it here.
Ah.
The drawback was I didn't get it till the end of September. And so it takes a little while to get everything started in the little wool cubes that they give you.
Mm-hmm.
But I got it started as fast as I could and grew, well, first of all the standard hydroponic greens type of things you think of, lettuce and kale, basil, cilantro. And that was great. It was nice having fresh things all winter. But some of my other experiments was I wanted to try seeing if I have tomatoes, eggplant, cucumbers, and jalapeno peppers, which were all very successful, which was great. In the middle of wintertime, being able to pick things and have a fresh salad.
Nice.
It was really fun to have that. So I did really enjoy that. Part of the other nice thing about having one of these is that they have LED lights with them, which are really bright.
Uh-huh.
But it's like having a happy light in the middle of your house in the middle of winter. And so here I had green things growing, eating fresh stuff, and I had happy light. So it was a pretty good winter for me.
I would say so. Yeah, yeah. What are you going to do differently this year now that you've got it established?
The big thing this year will be that I will probably start everything probably in the middle of August. And that way, because it does take a while to get everything going, that about the time my garden outside is finishing up, I will have fresh stuff still coming on and inside. So it'll be
great.
A continuous.
Nice. And this is aeroponics, so it's different from hydroponics. Can you explain the difference?
Well, this, what happens is it's a tower, and so you have a tank of water underneath, and it pumps the water up through the tower and then comes down on the inside for the roots.
Okay.
The nice thing about it was that the pump only runs 5 minutes every 30 minutes, so it's not running all the time, so it's not a noise factor.
Mm-hmm.
It also has LED lights. And so between the two, I really didn't notice any jump with my electric bill whatsoever by doing this.
Okay.
And were you able to put your starts for your outside garden around the under the lights there?
Oh, I definitely use that to my advantage. And then also all my indoor geranium plants, I put those nearby and was able to get those to start greening up and doing much better early on in the season because I had this thing running all winter, so you might as well use the lights, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
What a good idea.
And so I found it very beneficial. It was very nice to have it. The only thing I found I have to watch is I did have a little bit of an aphid problem, and so I had to stay on top of that. Where aphids are coming from in the middle of winter in my house, I have no idea. But I did
the mothership. The mothership brings them in.
They find
I have
way.
No idea.
Yeah.
How do they get there? But they were.
Yeah.
So do you have to buy special seeds for that are you know, aeroponic type seeds?
No, you don't. The main thing you want is you want to get things like the tomatoes I grew were a very dwarf variety, which I'd never grown before. Mm-hmm. They're one of those type they talk about using in a, just a regular pot. And it was a very small plant, but boy, it was prolific. I did try one of my standard tomatoes, and it was going to be okay, but it was getting too big for the tower, and so I wouldn't do that again. Cucumber worked great, but I did have to put up a fencing for it to grow on, and so I was able to get cucumbers because there are no dwarf cucumber plants.
Okay.
They haven't invented that one yet. Mm-hmm. But that was the only limitation, really. You want things with short growing season and, you know, fairly small, and that's the eggplant I grow is, once again, something that's, you know, considered a patio version of those, and same with the jalapeno peppers. I was able to grow both kinds of jalapeno peppers, but I found the type, they're what they call them, patopinos. They grow very quickly and very prolific, and what's nice is that they become hot almost immediately. That most jalapeno peppers, you're waiting a long season. You know, they have nice peppers there, but you're waiting for them to develop their heat. The, mm-hmm. the small variety, they seem hot pretty much right away. Which was great.
Huh. Nice.
Yeah. Well, and is this on a timer?
Yeah, it has its own timer, so it's very easy to use. That on a day-to-day basis, there was nothing I had to do. About once a week, I would check to the water tank and make sure that the tank of water underneath was full. It had enough water in it. Even that, though, I only had to put water in it probably once a month.
Okay.
But I would check it, keep track of it.
Okay. And how about the final cleanup of it?
It wasn't too bad. The main thing that I found was that the roots really do grow. It's amazing. You have plants that are like 5 feet off the ground in this tower, and they will have roots growing all the way down through this tower into that tank of water by the end.
Wow.
And so cleaning all the roots out is a little bit of a chore, but it's also pretty fascinating to see how much roots they do put on.
So if you don't clean it, it would gum up the works?
Yeah, you would have to. You'd, at some point every year, you'd have to shut it down and clean out the whole thing and start over again.
Okay.
Okay, but then that works fine for, you know.
It works great, yeah, because by the time I'm planting stuff outside, I was cleaning that up, putting that away, getting that out of the way, because my house gets taken over then with starts everywhere, so that worked out pretty well.
And putting your starts and your indoor geraniums around there to absorb that extra light, what a great idea.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, now you need just a lounge chair to put by that. You could pretend that you were in the tropics.
Yeah, a margarita with an umbrella in it or
something.
There
you go. Yeah. Hey, now you're talking.
Yeah, another way to get through the winter here.
Yeah, wow. Okay, and then you're also doing a really interesting idea for something like a hydroponics project, but it's outside and in a raised bed. And maybe we should mention here that you are on a water reverse osmosis system.
Right. I have reverse osmosis because I have a salt water well. And so my water is very expensive. It does not go to watering plants.
Okay. But this idea that you're going to talk about now would work for anybody, but it's particularly good for people with limited water supply.
Very much so. But also people limited time, because you will greatly cut down on the amount of time you're having to water your garden. It kind of waters itself.
Okay, so tell us about this one.
Well, this kind of works the same way as the hydroponics, where you have a tank of water underneath. And so what I've done is I've built 2 foot bed or 2 foot tall beds, lined the entire thing with plastic. The first foot, I
put. And how thick a plastic?
It needs to be about 6 to 8 mil, because you're going to put rocks in the very bottom and you don't want the rocks poking holes in the plastic. And so actually, I did a double layer of 6 mil just to make sure. Because if you poke holes, you basically lost the whole point of this bed. So
okay, and some of the plastic that they use to wrap lumber with and so on at the lumber yards, would that work if you used
that would.
A couple of layers of that?
You would, yeah. You could use recycled plastic easily, and I would suggest doing that, of course.
Okay, great.
So the first foot is just rocks, and then you fill that part with water. You put a tube going from the very top of your bed all the way down to the bottom of the bed. And that's where eventually you're going to use that for filling the bed. And so that you can put a hose into that tube and then fill the bottom part.
Okay.
And that can be anything. I just grabbed a piece of downspout and put it there for mine along the side.
Just as long as it's big enough that a hose could fit down
exactly.
into it.
And it goes all the way to the bottom. And then at the 1 foot level, I drilled a hole through the side and just put a piece of white pipe in there. And that's my drain. Okay. And so when I fill up that bed, that reservoir, that first foot, when the water starts coming out the drain, I know my reservoir is full.
Okay, so just a piece of PVC pipe.
Any kind of pipe, whatever you have laying around.
Yeah,
that's what I did, just a pipe I had already around the house. And then I put down some of that landscaping cloth above the on the rocks in the water. And actually, I put down then a couple layers of cardboard too, just because cardboard always is great because it absorbs the moisture and we keep the soil from going down into the rocks because I don't want that going down there. Then, so the second foot, I just filled up with soil and then planted my garden. And so then initially, I did water everything from the top, watered it all in, but I have not watered that garden since then. And what's happening is, it's just the water is seeping up through the soil and watering the roots.
Huh.
And so my roots are always moist.
Uh-huh.
The nice thing is the surface of my soil is actually kind of dry. And so I'm thinking that'll be a great way to keep slugs down, that I don't have that wet, moist soil on the surface anymore.
Okay.
How is the water seeping up from the soil if you have plastic between?
I don't have plastic between. The plastic's only lining the bed.
Okay.
Between the layer, the reservoir with the rocks and the water is just that gardening fabric.
Oh, from this, from that water, that water. Okay, I thought you meant from the ground.
No, not at all.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
No. And so that, and then also I have then the cardboard too, which will also help absorb the water.
Right.
And then the soil, and it just seeps up. It's amazing how it's worked.
Yeah. I've seen a YouTube video about this.
Well, that's where I got the idea. Yeah. There's a YouTube video.
YouTube is wonderful.
It really is. So if anyone's interested, the YouTube video I went to, it was DIY self-watering raised bed / green thumb nursery.
Okay. So say that again.
DIY self-watering raised beds / green thumb nursery.
Okay. Do it yourself. Self-watering raised beds. Okay.
Yeah. And it's a great idea. And one reason I really pushed myself to build this new bed this year, because I didn't really need a new bed. But I have realized that I'm going to have to take my geodesic dome down, my greenhouse, at the end of the season. It's rotting out badly. And before it falls down, I'd like to take it down. So I have to build a new greenhouse, which means I have to build new beds. And I've decided I want to test this out because I really would like to build these beds inside my greenhouse.
Mm-hmm.
It'd make life so much easier. No more having to stand around with a hose. You simply put the hose into the pipe. When you see the water come up the side, that bed's ready. You can move on to the next one. But it means my beds stay watered and I could go away for a week or probably longer and not have to worry about someone coming by to water my garden while I'm gone.
Yeah, and it would be perfect for like remote places that are just hard to get to.
Right.
I have some poorly planned areas in my garden that, you know, mean I have to carry buckets of water or extend a hose out, and it's just, it's a, you know, or hose, do rain catchment or something. Yeah.
The hose kinks up. And
Of course, they always kink.
Yeah. Even the kinkless ones.
Yeah. Okay.
So anyway, to test this out, of course, I had to do as an experiment. So I did plant potatoes in this particular bed, and I put potatoes in one of my regular beds. And so it'll be interesting at the end of the season to dig up the potatoes and see what a difference it is. Yeah. The other bed that has potatoes in, I have had to water that one 4 or 5 times now, whereas this other bed with this new bed, I have not had to water at all since I put it in.
So it'll be interesting at harvest to see how it goes. So and it's a much more consistent watering.
It is.
So that's one of the problems with potatoes you can get.
I've had scab issues in the past because of inconsistent watering.
Yeah, and heart rot.
Yeah, and it's so hard with potatoes because they're so far down. To water a garden enough to get the water all the way down to those areas, that takes a lot of water. That's a lot of standing around.
Yeah.
And so the idea of this where, like I said, I don't have to stand around anymore. I just put it in the tube, fill it up, and walk away.
Wow.
So we'll see how this goes.
Yeah, that's great. You are having so much fun. So on to the third thing.
Yes.
We're going to run out of time here, I'm afraid. But,
as always.
Yeah. A few days ago, we had some really heavy winds from the south. And I was thinking about everybody with these lovely south-facing gardens and the wind damage. So you've done some things to protect your garden from wind.
I have used that corrugated plastic roofing material and put corners on all my beds that have that wiggle board and to accommodate that. And so I can put up the clear plastic roofing around my beds. And once again, a few years ago, I'd done an experiment with carrots, one bed with just regular and one with the sides on it. And it was incredible, the difference. By keeping the wind off my carrots, which is a cold weather crop, and it makes it just a little bit warmer too without the wind, caused a little bit of a greenhouse effect. It was a significant difference in my carrots. You know, the carrots were like at least 5-6 inches long in the one bed, and the other ones were like the little stubby things. I left them in a month longer, and they still didn't do much. It makes a huge difference keeping that cold wind off of things. Even if there's not actual wind damage, I think it's the cold. It really taxes the plants.
Yeah.
Right. And it keeps it a little bit warmer, you say, the bed?
It really does. I made my roofing into 1.5 or the standard 3-foot size, depending on what I have growing. Uh-huh. So it causes a little bit of greenhouse effect. It's not covered over top, but still the sun comes in. You don't have the wind blowing all the heat away. And so they do stay just a little bit warmer.
And rain can get to it, too.
And I don't have to worry about the rain then, which is great. They do get all the rainwater, which is when you cover a bed with like Remate, you're still having to water those beds.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, we've run out of time, but not out of things to talk about.
Exactly. There's never enough time to talk garden.
There never is. Garden conversations go on and on. Thank you, Kate. Thank you, Joni.
Thank you. Thank both of you. Always so interesting. Always something to learn here.